Because it's the early 19th century. We'll take the land back from the Indians.
We'll take the land back from the French and Spanish and other people in other European countries.
And other countries too.
And also other places.
I'm pretty sure it's our land anyway.
It's a very topical theater, an elitist, out-of-touch Washington, D.C., a stolen election, a populist movement. The charismatic people's candidate is elected president, and a new era begins. Yes, we can. I mean, yes, they did, because the president portrayed in this play was our seventh. As they say in the show, he put the man in manifest destiny. I'm talking about Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, playing through May 9th at the Public Theater. Benjamin Walker, who plays Jackson, and Michael Friedman, who wrote the music and the lyrics for it, join me now. Welcome to our show.
Thanks for having us.
Benjamin, is this play as exhausting to play in as it appears, or do you leave feeling exhilarated, adrenalated?
Well, I think we always say if the crowd is having half as much fun as we're having doing it, we've done our job. It's an exciting show. The music that Michael has written is a lot of fun to sing, and Alex's story is a lot of fun to tell, and we just go on the ride every night. I'd have to say it's a lot of fun. It's not exhausting at all.
Well, sometimes it's hard to tell if you're trying to make people laugh or make them think.
Well,
was that part of
we accomplished both.
I usually don't think when I'm laughing.
I think we hope that they'll actually the laughter will draw them in and then sort of surprise them that if they ever do start thinking beyond the laughter.
Weren't you a history and lit major at Harvard?
I was.
Has that background been useful to you in the theater?
Well, I joke that lately everything I work on seems to be based on some book that is sitting on my shelf that I did not read in college and that sits sort of like a reproach staring at me. So I actually took a class on Jacksonian America in school with a professor, William Knapp, who's now dead. But so all the books from that actually sort of informed the writing of this show. So.
Well, how historically accurate is the play?
Sometimes.
I mean, like when we read the classic comics and then wrote a book report, could a high school student preparing for a history test be led astray by any of this?
There are a few places where things get conflated. There are a few places where we commit complete inaccuracy in the name of theater.
Like one of the characters eats Twinkies. I don't think they were invented.
Martin Van Buren, as far as we know, was not a major consumer of Twinkies. But he was
large. He was a large man. He would have eaten the equivalent of Twinkies at the time.
Were Jackson's family members killed by Indians?
That is not accurate at all. But the threat that his family felt from the British and the Spanish and the Native American populations, the sort of feeling, I think, of the Americans on the frontier of being constantly surrounded by hostile forces, which might have been imagined by them, but is, I think, still a feeling we as Americans have that we're constantly overwhelmed by that, and that, I think, was the feeling we wanted to get with his family.
And also to give some kind of a psychological reason behind what he did later.
That's possible, though I think a lot of his maneuvers are just him acting impulsively.
Benjamin, Michael said he went back to his old books. Did you study up on Andrew Jackson?
I did. I read a wonderful book by Robert Remini. I read John Meacham's book. And I have a father who's a history buff, and he took us to the Hermitage when we were, my older brother and I were young boys. So I wasn't coming in blind. And we did a lot of work together dramaturgically, and I'm fascinated by American history, so it was a pleasure.
Although this play or this musical makes no attempt to look like what things would be, makes no pretense of being really set in 18, what is
right.
it, 20?
Yeah.
There's as much Mick Jagger in your portrayal as there is Andrew Jackson.
Well, I hope so. Accurately, he was a rock star. That's more important in terms of the storytelling than whether or not we have his ruffles right.
You mean a rock star, the equivalent of a rock star?
Exactly. Thank you.
And Michael, was this play always envisioned as a rock opera?
Yeah, Alex and I were set up on kind of a professional blind date by a mutual friend, and by the end of about an hour, we'd come up with this idea that was basically Andrew Jackson and emo rock music somehow making a musical. So yeah, it was always conceived from the ground up that way.
And how would you define emo music?
Alex Timbers has a fantastic definition, which is it's sort of music that's it's so sincere that it's ridiculous, and then becomes so ridiculous that it's actually kind of moving. But I like to think of it as a bunch of sort of moody boys in their 20s complaining about girls who wouldn't date them in high school, which is why the opening line of the opening song is just, why wouldn't you ever go out with me in school?
Mm-hmm. I understand Elizabeth Swaters was a mentor to you. How did you meet her?
We met my senior year at Harvard, and then she asked me to work with her in New York on a bunch of projects, and so she was a very early and a very important influence.
I have to ask both of you this. Why Andrew Jackson? Because you say he was the kind of rock star celebrity that we understand today but might not have at the time.
Well, I think when Alex and I started writing the show, it was under the Bush administration, W's administration, and at the time, I think the question of the uses and misuses of populism and the stealing of elections and those things were very much in the air. What's been really weird has been, as we've worked on the show, seeing it grow into being that Jackson is kind of, he's Bill Clinton, he's Jimmy Carter, he's certainly Ronald Reagan.
And then lately, Barack Obama.
He's Barack Obama and Sarah Palin and the Tea Party. So he covers, you know, he's the founder of the Democratic Party, but he covers a whole lot of ground in his influence.
He offered himself as an outsider, an anti-elitist.
And he was the first to do a lot of the things we take for granted. Like, he was the first to campaign as we traditionally think of it today. And that's another reason why he's significant.
Mm-hmm. You've been working on this for a long time, haven't you?
Almost 3 years, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has it changed over time?
It has. We hope all in positive ways. We've trimmed a lot of the fat. We think it's funnier and faster ride for the audience. It's clearer. All positive changes.
Does the audience react differently when it's a matinee or when it's an 8 p.m. show? Because I have to tell you, I was surprised by just how young the audience was in a time when people are complaining about how theater audiences are pretty much aging.
It's been very gratifying to have such young audiences, and I think we have to say the public's done an amazing job at helping bring those audiences in for us. But yeah, it's been really fun. That said, I've been amazed by the consistency of this cast, and while sometimes there are particularly raucous audiences and sometimes more, you know, quiet ones, it's been amazing actually how consistent the audience response has been. We've been really happy with that, I think.
Well, there were a few times when I felt some of the younger audience members were laughing at inside jokes.
That might be true. There are certainly some references to some pop culture things that might not everyone in the audience might recognize.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel bad about missing jokes that are beneath you.
Well, let's talk about the marriage. Rachel was Jackson's controversial wife. And did she really want him to quit politics?
She did, and she was plagued by the slander that they were receiving in the press as he progressed as a politician.
Even before the tabloids, they had the scandalous relationship because people claimed that she was a bigamist.
That's correct.
And it's not entirely inaccurate, that
right,
claim.
It's debatable whether or not they were knowingly or otherwise.
Actually, there was a movie I saw when I was a kid about that marriage, very sympathetic to her. The image you present of Jackson is a very complicated one. Somebody's even compared him to Hitler, although at the end you kind of suggested the jury is out. He was both a demagogue and also a man who brought a certain amount of more democracy to the country.
Well, certainly the historical record is still out in the sense that historians keep changing their tune about what they think Jackson is. In the last decade, you know, he's been called an American Hitler, but there's still some very hagiographic kind of books being written. So it goes both ways. People love him and they hate him. I don't think there's any other president who's quite so controversial among historians.
One of the songs says, it takes a celebrity of the first rank to make a good president. Washington was a celebrity.
Washington's the first great one. Though in that song, the idea is that part of the reason Washington, after two terms, said, I'm retiring to Mount Vernon, is he really couldn't take the pressure of what that kind of celebrity entailed, and that Jackson's trying to be the first one who really takes on what that populist zeal will be.
Is he an interesting character to play? Because, Benjamin, you've said that you're an actor who sings rather than a singer who acts.
He is an interesting character to play. And I think what's great about this piece is it's approached as a play with music as opposed to a musical. And he's interesting to play because he's, like we're discussing, quintessentially American. He's done horrible things, but at the same time, he's on the 20. And that's just a lot of fun for an actor to do, to have this wide berth of what he can be and who he was and who you can create him to be.
In terms of President Jackson and the Indian question, it's very seriously presented in the second half, but there's a fair amount of irreverent slapstick in the beginning.
I think we tried, it was a real rule going in the first half of the show to treat everyone with as much irreverence as possible. So I think, I mean, what I hope is that people begin to see that in a funny way, we're sort of seeing the world through Jackson's eyes, which is a really topsy-turvy world full of sort of cartoonish figures that he's kind of fighting against, so on all sides.
And also, at that time in America, I mean, when Washington's president, when Washington is president, we are in our infancy, and by the time Jackson rolls around, we're in our adolescence, which is a very zany, crazy, obnoxious time. And I think Michael and Alex have written a piece that embodies that in a way that it is adolescent and is fun and irreverent, and that comes through in the comedy.
I understand that the Trail of Tears pageant was changed from last year's laboratory production.
Yeah, in the very original workshop we'd done, partly because of the way the space worked and because we had 100 free apprentice performers who were able to do this, we had a kind of amazing tableau of the Trail of Tears going through the last scene, and it was very effective in that context. And we just realized last year that it had become trite, which was the opposite of what we'd wanted to portray. So we made it just that final tableau, which I think it allows, at least in the Newman Theater at the Public, to be a more serious portrayal.
You've also been involved with The Civilians. What are The Civilians?
Civilians is a theater company. We do investigative theater, which means some kinds of documentary theater, but always theater based in explorations of real life, whether that's interviews or research, but always starting from that place.
Have any people complained about some of the things that are obviously politically very incorrect in this play?
Actually, we keep... I'm always amazed how much we're allowed to get away with so far.
I can see handicapped groups, Native American groups.
We've had some really interesting and I found really wonderful discussions, dialogues with actually both those groups, representatives from organizations or who have had really interesting things to say, sometimes critical, but never always interested in a dialogue. So it's actually been, for me, really eye-opening and interesting and helped us, I think, in rewriting the show.
Benjamin, I understand your future mother-in-law attended opening night.
It was nice of her to come.
Is she still okay about the marriage?
I sure hope so, but I'm afraid that's private.
Does she refrain from giving notes?
Yeah, she doesn't take mine either.
I understand that the show has been extended once. Is that likely to happen again?
We've extended 3 weeks and beyond our original closing, which is fantastic. And anything beyond that is up to the fates and out of our control. But we're having such a great run that, you know, we're happy with where we are right now.
Well, I want to thank the two of you so much for coming by to talk about it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Benjamin Walker, who plays Andrew Jackson in Bloody, Bloody Andrew Jackson, now at the Public Theater. And with Michael Friedman, who wrote the music and the lyrics and has written music for other shows, including The Seagull?
Yes, I've done two productions of The Seagull. I've done a lot of Chekhov. If they'll pay me, I will write music for their show.
Mm-hmm. Well, Shakespeare loved music. I didn't know whether Chekhov ever included any songs in any of his shows.
There are a lot of fragments, actually. I mean, his shows are often constructed on little fragments of Russian songs, so he's really fun to work on as a composer because he's very savvy in his use of music.
It's been fun talking to both of you. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
We'll ruin the bank and we'll cripple the courts and we'll take on the world for America's sake. And we'll take back the land and we'll take back the country. We'll take and we'll take and we'll take and we'll take. And this country I'm making cannot be divided. The will of the people won't stand in my way.